This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Shaoning, and joining me in the studio is, of course, Philip C. Let's have a look at markets. What happened?
Yeah, Asia was a bit mixed. Nikkei was down 0.4%. Hang Seng closed Fed marginally lower, about 0.03%. Shanghai Composite was up 0.6%. STI was down 0.9%. Now, back home, FBM KLCI up 0.3% to 1590, just shy of the 1,600.
Yeah. We were below 1,500, and we were like wondering whether we could ever get back, and we did.
We did, and I'm wondering, with Cabinet being approved today, whether we will touch 1,600 today. Now, across at the US, all up, I think, after Jerome Powell's comments.
Record highs.
Across the board, the Dow was up 0.7%, S&P up 0.8%, and NASDAQ up 1.2%, as you said, Shaoning, record highs across the board.
So for more on international markets, we have Kingsley Jones on the line with us, founder and chief investment officer at Jevons Global. Good morning, Kingsley. Now, like what Philip said, all main US indices hit new highs. It seems that markets are convinced that the rate hikes are not imminent. Do you share the same view, though?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the comments that we heard from Jay Powell on Friday, they appeared to soothe markets. And in effect, I think what he was saying was, we'll do something when we feel need to do something, but that doesn't seem to be just yet. So I think, therefore, the bigger issue for investors now, given that we are making new highs, is just the seasonal weakness we tend to see in markets in September and October. And this has obviously coincided with the Delta outbreak worldwide and some weaker base metal prices, particularly in iron ore. But markets, I think they'll range trade from here until we get to the other side of the present Delta wave. Mm. You know, the weekly rate of new cases globally now seems to be topping out. It does follow a wave, and we think perhaps it might have calmed down by later this year, at least in this cycle. And certainly vaccination rates are lifting all around the world, which is a positive.
I mean, you talk about vaccination rates, but just building on the earlier point where you now see Jay Powell decoupling between tapering and interest rates, right? Can you help us understand what indicators the Fed is looking at in terms of its pace of how it will slow down the $120 billion monthly repurchase program they plan to do?
Yeah, that's really a great question. I think that the reason they're trying to separate these two things is that the Fed owns so much of the outstanding Treasury stock, that's the bonds, that they want to see first how the market is able to digest them not buying and what effect that has on the bond yields at the long end, around 10 years and longer. So I think that's the game plan, and therefore that's why the language is signaling, let's not bother about raising rates until we've seen whether the market can actually cope with us not buying treasuries to the extent that they have. So that seems to be the game plan. We're reasonably positive. CPI is strong, PPI is strong all around the world. That's mostly demand-led, and there'll be some natural heat coming out of that now with the Delta wave.
And if we look specifically at markets, Kingsley, what we did see is, of course, markets rally, but there was a bit of a shift and a rotation into cyclicals. I mean, what new sectors do you have your eye on now?
Well, we think chemicals are pretty interesting. I mean, they've been running for a while along with other stocks, but I think the picture is becoming clearer about this demand recovery. And it's very focused on goods, and we also have a global construction boom in progress. So, therefore, we've been looking at building materials-related chemicals. There's some good ones in Europe. We own Sika in Switzerland. And there's also a very interesting building materials company called Saint-Gobain, listed in Paris. Very recently, we added German specialty chemicals firm Merck KGaA. They supply chemicals to semiconductor firms and also to biotechs, such as the vaccine maker BioNTech. And the other thing that we're looking at right now is, of course, with Xinjiang, the province in China, been a source of about half of global polysilicon, and under some sanctions from the US, it's very important to have a look and see who is a producer of polysilicon that won't be caught by those sanctions. And for that reason, we're having a look at Wacker Chemie in Germany. It's a stock that we owned some years back when I was running a green energy portfolios. It's a good company, and this may be their opportunity to really get some traction beyond their immediate recovery.
And shifting from chemicals to financial stocks, right? Now, with global interest rates expected to rise in tandem with the Fed's view, is this a case of just going more into banking or even in markets like Singapore and Hong Kong, which are more financial stocks driven?
I think it's becoming a broader opportunity set. So as you mentioned, you know, with Malaysia hitting 60-odd% in the Klang Valley in terms of, I think broadly across the country, it does get a lot more interesting to be buying financials in places like Malaysia, also in South Korea and around Asia generally. Singapore is the main place that we've been buying financials through DBS, principally because, you know, that has a pretty strong wealth management business in addition to its regular banking. But outside of Asia, you know, we've mainly been playing the Australian financials. Obviously, there's a bit of a housing boom on now, and the US financials, where the same is true. And this rate situation in the US is probably going to provide support to financials there.
And Kingsley, staying in Australia, I mean, you're going through, I guess, the third month of a lockdown, especially in certain key cities like Sydney and Melbourne. But at the same time, we're also seeing the biggest M&A deals in Australia since 1998. What's driving all this deal making at this time?
It's really the ultra low interest rates that are driving that. I mean, you know, with interest rates this low, you can make almost any M&A case stack up in terms of the extra leverage that private firms can take, for example. So there's a lot of private equity buyouts. I'd point to the UK, for instance, where supermarkets have been on the menu for private equity groups. And here in Australia, of course, we've got a lot of privatizations on. We've had one of the super funds or consortium of them go to take out Sydney airports. And we'll see more of that simply because of low rates. And the place I think that we can play this as investors, apart from obviously guessing which company might be a takeover target, is through the investment banks. So that's why we like Macquarie Group. But I'd note that, you know, it's only in the last 2 years that the new startup investment bank, Barrenjoey, has gotten going. And they are obviously applying to this thematic with M&A. And they've had their checkbook out buying anybody who can basically make a deal.
And just last question, Kingsley, you know, we are in KL, the weather's a bit murky and gloomy, but I think a bit concerning is Hurricane Ida, which will be hitting Louisiana, likely to be Cat 5 storms, winds even stronger than Katrina. What's the impact on oil? Brent is already at 73 per barrel, right, as the Texas Gulf gets affected by this hurricane.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think we'll see a number of effects. So starting from the obvious one, before Ida turned up, there was an accident in Mexico that took out a lot of heavy oil production. And that's important for the Louisiana refineries in terms of producing gasoline from that. So we'll see at least heavy prices go up. That's good for the Canadian stocks. It's also good for stocks in Colombia, like Ecopetrol, which is one we own. And besides that, I think the big hit will be on gasoline. If we see inventory drawdowns in gasoline because, you know, in the US things are opening up, there'll be a problem because a lot of those refineries are along the Gulf Coast. You know, the Gulf of Mexico producers, I think they've shut in 90% of capacity, which means it's offline. And certainly the refineries will take a while to get back up to full capacity. So I think we'll see higher gas prices.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Kingsley Jones, founder and chief investment officer at Jevons Global, telling us to expect higher oil prices. And that is somewhat reflected in China Petroleum and Chemical Corp, also known as Sinopec. Their results, they are they are Asia's biggest oil refiner. And they reported 39.15 billion yen, or thereabout $6 billion net profit for the first 6 months of this year. And this net profit was a 25% increase year on year.
Yeah, revenues in the first half rose 22% to 1.3 trillion yuan due to the low base effect. In the first half of 2021, Sinopec processed a total of 126.1 million tons of crude oil, Shaoning. But, you know, just back to the point I think made just now by Kingsley, a lot of the beneficiaries of that Gulf hurricane will be, you know, outside America. You talks about Canada, you talks about Colombia, but I also wonder whether for Petronas as well, right? And there was news recently about a relatively larger dividend payout out as well.
$7 billion. Yeah, I think there's a request there. And we will be covering that story later on at 9 a.m. Where we will talk about Petronas results in a little bit more detail. I think, of course, all prices have been much higher than at the beginning of the year. So it's a little bit of good news for us. We're still a net energy exporter.
Yep.
But I think Petronas also acknowledges that it's tough times ahead. So they have also slashed costs, even though they've spent a bit of money in terms of capex. But what does it mean for the broader economy, right? Because that might help us with our limited fiscal headroom at the moment.
You just drive higher prices as well to the pump.
Well, the good thing is that petrol, at least for RON 95, is subsidized, except for RON 97. So we don't feel the impact of that so much. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.